Second Taiwan Special of the Week. These podcasts are sponsored by BadAd.One, the advertising network I created myself. Text ads. Monetize, advertise, search. Again, I'm not a sellout. I've made this because I want to help the world. All those annoying websites, all of them, they're annoying because they're doing advertising the wrong way. Let's go back and do advertising the way it was meant to be done. Let's do text ads. Wouldn't it be great to know? Here in the beginning, it's a dollar for over a year because of the promotions. Buy any ad, you get a whole year free. Now, they start at a dollar. There's other options you can get. Tell people, bloggers, you got a business you got to promote. It's in the beginning, but there are great rewards for being there in the beginning. Now, I said that today I'm going to go through the history of where Taiwan and China found their roots, where everything came from. Let's go back to the early 1900s. Right now, the Chinese year, what is it? Is the current Chinese year 108? Well, I don't want to start my own cult, so I'm going to do the fact checking. Okay, waiting here for stuff to start. Let's see, type in the current Chinese year. Let's see where the current Chinese year is. Okay, that's not a Chinese. Oh, you guys are, you this is ridiculous. I'm not finding any current Chinese year. Is this a joke? Yeah, it's 108. Goodness, the internet doesn't even know how you don't know how this works. See how xenophobic the world is? No. 108 years ago, Dr. Sun had this idea. He was Christian. He had this idea of a government based on Christian values, and he wrote I believe it's five branches of government. Okay, the president is the president's branch, but then there's the executive branch where the cabinet resides with a super secretary called a premier. And then, of course, they've got the legislature, they've got the courts, but they also have the control. And the control is the ongoing impeachment proceedings against everyone else. So there we have it. This impeachment thing of Trump is an attempt to establish a de facto fourth branch of government, the ongoing impeachment. It's something that I don't get about Democrats. You don't want to set a precedent where the minority party is always trying to impeach the majority party president. You don't want that to become the normal. But you know, the Democrats don't see that if the other guy did what they would do, they wouldn't like it. They don't get that. And I wish that they would. You might be a Democrat who agrees with what I'm saying, and I'm very happy for that. The problem is not enough do. And typically, it's normal in Republican voter thinking, no, we don't want to start that because then other people will do that to us, and we don't want that. And that's more typical in Republican voter thinking than Democrat voter thinking. Now, I don't like Republicans, Democrats. I'm a conservative, but I also believe in the People's Party. There's a book out there. I wrote The People's Party. Okay. Well, anyhow, these five branches of government were part of Dr. Sun's idea. And at that time, see, China has always been an empire, big power distance. The boss is super big. And the employees are like, I think they call them peons for the most part, is how they view it. They're cockroaches. They're little, they're small. And people, it's like they're circus elephants. That you tie them to a rope, and stake it in the ground, and the elephant thinks it can't move. It's massive inferiority complex from this Asian power distance. Well, what happens is in Chinese history, the emperor would have assassination threats. So the emperor's solution is to put a bigger distance between himself and the people. One emperor had like 280 bedrooms in his palace, and he'd sleep in a different one every night. And eventually, of course, he was assassinated. See, the what they don't get, like, you know, remember the Chinese finger puzzle thing from the 90s? No, Lieutenant Commander Data on Star Trek couldn't figure it out. It interrupted a Star Trek staff meeting once on the Enterprise. Yeah, that's right. I think that was in the first season. Anyhow, so no, geek alert. The emperor's the more that they would distance themselves from the people, the more in danger their lives got. And it just got worse and worse and worse, and they'd never stop. Well, eventually, the emperor walled himself up in the Forbidden City. The Forbidden City. That was the capital. You're not allowed to go to the capital because that's the government. And what do you have to do with that? You don't have anything to say there. It's not your business what the government orders you to do. You're a peon, and the government, they're the de facto gods, and you obey them. You have no business going into their holy of holies to make the decisions on whether you live or die and how. So the Forbidden City was locked off from the people, and that was the capital. Well, the emperor was in there. The problem is he's oblivious. The emperor only knows what people tell him. So Dr. Sun created a silent, bloodless revolution just by having them lie to the emperor. And they treated him well. But he was locked in his city thinking he controlled China when actually China was controlling him. And so that was the new government. They even have their own year. It's year 108. I think they call it a Gregorian year or something like that. So it was wonderful. It was great. It was democratic. There were civil liberties. Well, Dr. Sun got old and died, and he was done. Along came Chiang Kai-shek running everything, and Chiang Kai-shek was basically a Hitler type. Dominant, dictator, authoritarian, bossy. Well, the more you control, the less you can do. This is a problem with having central government stuff. You know, the governor of Michigan, we should have the federal government controlling everything and get rid of the states, like make my job not necessary. So I wouldn't be here. That's what we need. That doesn't make any sense to me. No. If the federal government has to do everything, nothing will get done because they're the only ones that can do it all. This goes back to separation of powers. Well, Chiang Kai-shek was a power monger and he wanted to control everything like a perfectionist. Nothing ever got done. So the communists, they got very interesting money from very interesting sources. And our purpose isn't to get into conspiracy theories. But they had very interesting money. It's publicly known where the communists got their money from, but we're not going to talk about that here. The communists, Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao, he was the communist against the nationalists still from the party that Dr. Sun created, the government Dr. Sun created, and Mao fought against Chiang Kai-shek, who inherited Dr. Sun's government. Well, not Beijing, but Nanjing was the capital. And when the communists were about to lose, they were on the run. And when Chiang Kai-shek was about to have victory over the communists, an airplane full of politicians and generals from Harry Truman, we just won the war in 1945, and We'd taken Taiwan back from China, from Japan. We'd taken Taiwan back from Japan. Japan had controlled China since the 1800s, and Japan never said where Taiwan was going. They just said they were leaving. America never said where Taiwan was going. They just said the Japanese were leaving. So who does own Taiwan? Well, after this plane load of politicians and generals from Harry Truman arrived in then capital Nanjing, not Beijing, he suddenly decided that he couldn't defeat the almost defeated communists after all. He grabbed all of his money, all of the gold and money from the Bank of China, all of the rich people with him, scraped all the cream off the top, the preening of China, all the rich and all the money left China and went to what he presumed was his by right, Taiwan. Chiang Kai-shek abandoned his people and the mainland, lived in Taiwan. I know a kid, tells me his grandfather was a student in school one day and the teacher said, we got to go get on a boat. And they got on a boat and they arrived in Taiwan and he never saw his family again. And that's an old grandpa now. And he came not knowing Mandarin. Chiang Kai-shek imposed martial law, supposedly killed 20,000 people. Look at the 228 massacre. And the White Terror, they also call it. He was horrible. He erected statues of himself all over the island. The current vice president of Taiwan, William Lai, when he was the mayor or governor, should be governor, of my city where I live, Tainan, he was tearing down Chiang Kai-shek statues. And the Chiang Kai-shek political party, Chiang Kai-shek's dead and gone, but his political party that Dr. Sun started, that Chiang Kai-shek totally destroyed, they were all mad. that my then mayor, should be called governor, now vice president of Taiwan, was tearing down the statues of this evil, murderous man. Well, he was gone. His son took over and saw that democracy was the thing. And slowly, Taiwan's been moving more and more toward democracy. And they've been slowly getting rid of their inferiority complex. Today, you look, it's still a civil war. 70 years. 70 years this has been going on. And China is all mad. They want the whole world to be what they want it to be right now. It should have been yesterday. How dare the rest of us not obey what they can't do? And here the people are in Taiwan. They're happy. They just want to call it what it is. Say, oh, we're like a country. Let's just call it a country. But Xi Jinping of China says, no, you're a province of China. It's not. This is the thing where the communists and the old, it's the old China Empire thinking. The more they distance themselves from the people, the more danger they're in. They don't get this part. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it'll fry you eventually. And the Chinese don't get that. The more they want to control Hong Kong, the more they want to control Taiwan, the more people hate them, and the crazier it looks. It would be better for China to just say, ah, we don't care about that. Instead, they're mad that they can't have what they can't get themselves. They're going to hate you for not loving them. They're going to beat you up because you don't like them. And they're going to try to draw you in with poison rather than honey. That's China as things currently stand. Well, the younger people in Hong Kong and Taiwan have tasted enough democracy and freedom. Look what we have. They say that Jesus influenced Western culture. It was the servant leadership of Jesus. That was one of the good things. You've got the monkeys in the jungle, just like Chiang Kai-shek, messed up Dr. Sun's great government. There are a whole bunch of idiots, a whole bunch of monkeys in the jungle. It's a book I wrote. A whole bunch of monkeys in the jungle messing with the West. And they're inserting lots of bad things. But one of the good things in Western culture was Jesus, the servant leader. And that's the one thing that Taiwanese and Chinese pastors don't get. They still don't want to talk about the servant leadership because they're too old school. But the younger people are getting it. And the idea of fairness for all, and that all of us are as good as everybody else as far as value goes. All of us have a right to work and earn. All of us get a fair start. That idea is taking over, and China's mad that they're not loved and adored. That's our state. See you tomorrow.